In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text is the gospel reading which you've heard. You may be seated. The first king of Israel would never have needed a sign over his head at any time saying, "This is Saul, the king of the Jews." For you would have known who and what he was just by looking at him. He was a head taller than everyone else in all of Israel. He was handsome, he was strong, and came from a wealthy family. You would have needed no more than one glance at this exalted head of the king and declare, "Now that's a king." But Saul's is a story of an exalted head that is brought down. For he followed him in the footsteps of the very first king of the world, the king Adam. And like Adam, he turned away from the word of the Lord. Therefore, God anointed a new king, a man after God's own heart, the boy shepherd David. But Saul persecuted and reviled the Lord's newly anointed king. He was so jealous of David's popularity among the people that it sent him into a murderous rage. The mere presence of David so filled Saul's head with envy that he chased him all around the countryside like a madman. His anger even caused him to try to pin David to the wall with a spear, but David avoided it. And in the end, that once exalted head was cut off by the Philistines on Mount Gilboa, and he was reviled in disgrace. Consider the scene of Jesus, the greater David, as he is crucified and reviled on Golgotha. They mock God's king. What hatred is hurled here at the Lord's anointed? The passers-by wag their heads at him and revile him. The envious chief priests and scribes and elders don't like his popularity one little bit, and they rail at him to prove his kingship. Even the two robbers who were crucified on either side of him directed their insults at Jesus. Consider the scene here tonight. And consider then your guilt against the Lord's anointed. Haven't you too wagged your heads and stood in judgment of the Lord, often judging him to be unfair to you? Consider how often you have turned from the Lord's word and demanded that he prove to you how much he actually loves you. What were you thinking when your bitterness drove you to insist that you deserve better, even though you are just as guilty before God as any robber? Consider tonight your many resentful and angry thoughts towards Jesus, and consider the judgment that should come down on your head. But then, consider the bloodied and ugly king on the cross, and be glad. Consider the thoughts going on in his sacred head, and be exceedingly glad. For his thoughts are not about getting revenge or pushing back the scorn onto the heads of those sinners. His thoughts toward you are not filled with disgust. What's going on in the head of that king are thoughts of love toward you and doing what is necessary to bear your scorn and to save you. The sign said, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And that's good, because we would have never identified him as God's king. Nobody would have ever looked at him at the cross and say, "Now that's a king." He's the king you never thought you wanted nor thought you needed. And yet, he came to save you. Not like handsome Saul, he had no beauty that we should desire him, says Isaiah. He set aside his kingly might and beauty that he might die voluntarily in weakness and in disgrace. He was rich, yet for sinners' sake he became poor, so that in his poverty you might become rich. Placed on the throne of the cross, he is unrecognizable as our king, but just perfect enough to do the job, to take away your sins, take away the sins so far away from you, as far as the east is from the west, that the Father might recognize you forever as both belonging to that king and his heir forever. Notice that the mouth on Jesus' sacred head is silent as he bears the persecution, the insults, and the rage. That head lifted high upon a cross now hangs down bloody. But it is a beautiful head to sinners who know that upon this king, the wrath of God was placed for us, poor sinners. Take great comfort in all that's happening here. For our crucified king is all about crowning you with glory and honor. So that means that you no longer have to wear the anger of God or a crown of thorns as a curse. Jesus, your king, is all about lifting your burden of guilt from your shoulders so that he might shoulder it all on the cross and destroy it so that you might be exalted and declared innocent as holy sons of God. Those ears on his head heard all the insults and all the bitterness that your ears might tingle at the words of forgiveness that he speaks. Your king, the Lord's anointed, persecuted, reviled, rejected, and killed, but raised again to anoint you in baptism and anoint you with garments of real innocence. Your king, the Lord's anointed, willing to be hunted and chased all over Israel that you might be embraced by the Father's love. Saul may have launched his spear at David and missed, but divine love would not allow Jesus to evade the soldier's spear, for the king on the cross was dead. But from that dead king on the cross comes a life-giving water that fills the baptismal font and washes away your sin. And from that dead king on the cross comes the life-giving blood that fills the chalice that you drink, cleansing you from all sin and lifting up your head in triumph. Dear saints, behold your King. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.